Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my radio program. Today is Monday, May 3rd, the great month of May 2021, just a few weeks away from Memorial Day, the opening up of the swimming pools, the beginning of summer. I just cannot wait. I hope wherever you're at in the country today, you're having a great day. Today on The Cross in the Desert, I want to focus in on these current allegations against former Secretary of State John Kerry and his secret meetings with Iran. Very serious allegations. If they're true, it's very treasonous. Former Secretary of State and Biden administration cabinet member John Kerry is really coming under fire for allegedly informing Iran's foreign minister, Javad Zarif, about covert Israeli operations targeting Iranian interests. That's right. And this follows a pattern. It follows several other instances in which Kerry has exhibited abnormally close ties with this terrorist regime. They are a very key adversary to Israel, America's most critical Middle Eastern ally. So I want to just go through a couple of these instances where it's very clear that the activities of John Kerry have always been suspicious. Back in January 2016, Kerry admitted that some money freed up by sanctions relief on Iran will fund terrorism. He came right out and said it. I think that some of it will end up in the hands of the IRGC or other entities, some of which are labeled terrorists. That's what he said in an interview with CNBC in January 2016. Then, in May 2018, Kerry is exposed for meeting several times with Foreign Minister of Iran, Zarif, and possibly other Iranian officials during the Trump administration in an alleged attempt to undermine Trump's maximum pressure campaign against Tehran. Now, Mike Pompeo came right out and said something very, very important about this. He says, you can't find presidents for this in U.S. history, and Secretary Kerry ought not to engage in that kind of behavior. It's inconsistent with what foreign policy of the United States is as directed by this president, and it is beyond inappropriate for him to be engaged. That's former Secretary of State for the Trump administration, Mike Pompeo. Now, just recently, Iran's Foreign Minister Javad Zarif said in a leaked audio tape that Kerry informed Iran about hundreds of covert Israeli strikes on Iranian interests in Syria. Quote, it was former U.S. Foreign Secretary John Kerry who told me Israel had launched more than 200 attacks on Iranian forces in Syria. That's according to Zarif. Now, senator from Texas said, quote, if the tape is verified, it would signal catastrophic and disqualifying recklessness by Envoy Kerry to Foreign Minister Zarif that endangered the safety of Americans and our allies. Despite Kerry's denial of his most recent alleged collusion with Iran, many Republicans are calling for his resignation. I'm reading this courtesy of Lisa Daftari, the Foreign Desk News. Now, I want to take us to a special presentation a few days ago by Sean Hannity on this particular issue. Let's listen.
Breaking news and a shocking new report surrounding John Kerry and the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism. That would be the mullahs and that would be Iran. According to leaked audio obtained by the New York Times, Iran's top diplomat, a guy by the name of Mohammad Zarif, claims that John Kerry compromised one of our top allies and us in the process by divulging potentially top secret, highly sensitive information. Quote, former Secretary of State John Kerry informed him that Israel had attacked Iranian interest in Syria at least 200 times. To his astonishment, Mr. Zarif said, to his astonishment, did John Kerry reveal Israeli covert actions to Israel and the U.S.'s single biggest enemy, the number one state sponsor of terrorism worldwide? Well, that would mean all plausible deniability for covert operations would be dead, gone, and buried. Covert operatives and assets on the ground risking their lives, they would be in imminent danger if they haven't already been murdered, something we likely wouldn't know. And, of course, John Kerry is saying that this never happened. But the New York Times is standing by the accuracy of their reporting. Keep in mind, Kerry reportedly had been in contact with Iranian officials ever since leaving the Obama administration. See, that's only a problem if you're a conservative or a Republican. Then it's a violation of the 1799 Logan Act. And by the way, if you go back in the Trump administration, Kerry still in communication with Iran? Really? What if the Trump supporters were doing that now? President Trump accused him, rightly so, of undermining our foreign policy. That's our national security. And after all, it appeared that Kerry was trying to preserve his crowning achievement, the now defunct, the dumbest deal in the history of mankind, the Iranian nuclear deal that Joe Biden wants to leap back into, you know, the one that gave $150 billion in cash and other currency to the leading state sponsor of terrorism. And in exchange, we got nothing. U.S.-led checks on nuclear sites, none. Anywhere, anytime inspections, none. Any verifiable guarantees, none. Even our own inspectors, none. Just tens of billions of dollars that Iran immediately was using to fund further terror attacks all over the region and world. Remember, the architect of this idiotic deal has been trying to appease Iran for now over a decade, all while vilifying our top ally in the Middle East, Israel, at every turn. And as one article in the New York Post entitled, John Kerry is skirting the line of treason with Iran, summed it up. The rather curious defining feature of the Democratic Party foreign policy going back at least four decades is that our friends must be bullied, our enemies must be appeased. Not shocking, given Kerry's testimony. You might recall when he ran for president, when this tape came up, it was him in the 1970s accusing his fellow soldiers in Vietnam of being, oh, murderers, rapists, randomly shooting civilians, raising villages in a fashion reminiscent of, in his words, Genghis Khan. Take a listen.
They had personally raped, cut off ears, cut off heads, taped wires from portable telephones to human genitals and turned up the power, cut off limbs, blown up bodies, randomly shot at civilians, razed villages in a fashion reminiscent of Genghis Khan.
Clearly, John Kerry's not changed at all. And now multiple members of Congress are calling on Kerry to resign or be investigated. That's the least of it. Senator Sullivan from Alaska, among many others. Even Mitt Romney found a little bit of courage somewhere. The old Mitt Romney popped out for a second to criticize a Democrat and called for full transparency, whatever that means. But former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, he believes Iran's top diplomat, including Zarif, might be frequently out of the loop with Iran's ruling factions, has little power, frequently lies, which mean even Kerry's alleged attempts to undermine our closest ally might have been fruitless. Take a look.
But as for Zarif, I don't know why anybody listens to him. He has nothing to do with Iranian foreign policy. He lies all the time.
Now, regardless of Zarif and John Kerry, it's now clear that the hostile regime in Iran is testing this new administration. You know, the weak, the frail, the cognitively struggling Joe and Kamala Harris. Last night in the Persian Gulf, three Iranian Revolutionary Guards patrol boats plowed through waters towards U.S. naval ships and what the Navy called an unnecessarily close range with unknown intent. After radio loudspeaker warnings were ignored, the U.S. Navy was forced to fire several warning shots. At that time, the Iranian vessels finally retreated, but no doubt this will not be the last time the Biden administration is tested. The question tonight is, well, is Joe Biden up to the task? Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News.
That is Sean Hannity on a special report detailing exactly what I read to you from the foreign desk, Lisa Daftari, about the alleged encounter from the New York Times that posted this article several days ago that John Kerry has supposedly had with former Foreign Minister Zarif, where Zarif, you know, admitted that he had told him about several times occasions of what the Israelis had done in their reconnaissance and intelligence missions in Syria. This would clearly be treasonous. And if it's true, he should be forced to resign or investigated at the very least. But this administration, and I'm speaking of the Biden administration, is going to toy around with Iran and again appease them and again try to resurrect a deal that is disastrous for the Middle East policy, for the safety of Israel. And we have to continue to speak out on behalf of our ally Israel, what is going on with Iran and what they're intending to do through the Biden administration. This must be stopped. It is dangerous. It is wrong. It is lethal to our great ally Israel in the Middle East. Now, for the last 5 years on here, that is the Cross in the Desert, I've been speaking on the plight of Nazanin Zakari Ratcliffe. She is a dual citizen from the UK, a dual citizen in Iran, UK-Iran. 5 years ago, when she traveled to Iran from the UK to visit her family, she was stopped on the way home at Tehran's airport and arrested and accused of being a spy. Now, this has gone on back and forth for 5 years. It's very clear that Nazanin Ratcliffe is being used as a political pawn so that the UK will pay this $400 million debt they owe Iran from 1978-79. But the very sad thing about this whole situation is about a year ago, Nazanin was put on a type of furlough out of Evin prison, and she had to wear a bracelet, a security bracelet around her ankle, and she was able to go back to her parents' home there in Tehran because of what was happening in the prisons with the COVID. She was given this furlough. Well, now, once again, with all of the anticipation that this is going to lead to her being returned home to her husband and child, hopes are risen so high, and again, this horrible regime is after this money, and after using Nazanin as a political pawn, now she has been sentenced to another year in prison. And the very sad thing about this story is that her husband, Richard Ratcliffe, for the past 5 years has tried to raise so much noise and attention so that the British Parliament will actually do something about this situation. And of course, at that time, Nazanin's daughter was still in Tehran. Well, a couple of years ago, she was allowed to come home to be reunited with her father. And now with this latest sentence against Nazanin, Richard says he has not yet told their daughter that mummy could be in prison for another year. And you know, this is inhumane. not only against her husband and against Nazanin, but against little Gabriella. Foreign Office Minister James Cleverly said this latest move by Iran was totally inhumane and wholly unjustified. It is indefensible, he says, and it is unacceptable that Iran has chosen to continue this wholly arbitrary court case. But labor person Tulip Saqib, who represents the family's North London constituency, has criticized Prime Minister Boris Johnson for, quote, his dismal failure in getting Nazanin released. She was first jailed, as I said, back in 2016. She served a five-year sentence. And, of course, Nazanin has always denied these spying charges that has been leveled against her. And it's such an incredible pressure on her husband. And now he says, we haven't sat down and explained to Gabriella that we think Mummy could be in prison for another year. We felt it was better to wait until that actually happens before stressing that. And of course, just a few weeks ago, at the time of Nowruz, they believed that Nazanin was going to be sent back to the UK. They were counting the days, and it was very disappointing and upsetting when in the end she didn't come out. It's really sad. As I mentioned to you, Richard maintains his wife was in prison 5 years ago as leverage for a debt owed by the UK over its failure to deliver the tanks to Iran in 1979. It's a $400 million debt they need to pay, they believe, to Iran, and then Nazanin would be released. Well, as you listen to these sad stories, and I'm speaking of Nazanin Radcliffe as the main story I'm talking to you about today, and you think about where is the God of justice for people like Nazanin, who is suffering in prison. She's one among thousands, of course, suffering in prison in the Iran evil republic, I call it. What I like to say in response is that I always share with my listeners one of my favorite psalms. I pray for God to deliver the oppressed. And it comes from Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. And this is such a beautiful promise. For he, that is God, will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. It's such a beautiful promise. And I want you to hear it also from the New Living Translation. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. Today, I'm asking all of my listeners, in light of this beautiful psalm of promise that I've read to you, I'm asking you to think of Nazanin Radcliffe today, to think of Richard and Gabriella waiting anxiously in the UK, and pray that God, in his perfect timing, for his purpose, will release this beautiful lady who has suffered so much in prison for these past 5 years, will release her back to her family, especially her daughter that doesn't know that her mummy, as Richard says, could spend another long year in prison. And folks, right now the prisons are overrun with COVID. It is a dangerous place for Nazanin to go back to. And so I'm asking you today, in light of Psalm 72, and you can go read it in your Bible and pray along with that psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. To pray for Nazanin, that God would deliver her from this oppressive imprisonment and reunite her with her beautiful family in the UK. You know, Jesus is our living hope, and he is the one we turn to for everything we need. I want you to hear this beautiful song right now from Brian and Jen Johnson called Living Hope.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven, spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Let's feel the promise. You're
What a beautiful song of worship. Living hope, that is exactly what the world needs. What is the foundation that your life is built on? You know, during this past year or more, we have been in a turmoil, in a bed of fear, of uncertainty, and many of us are swallowed up with anxiety. And it's like a year of testing. It's like God is saying, what foundation is your life built upon? If you were called today to face death and uncertainty, what foundation are you taking with you into eternity? Is it your career, your bank account, your reputation, your legacy? What is it you are taking with you when you die? Well, when we stand before the holy God of the universe, there's only one thing that will appease this holy God, and that is the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is our living hope, and if we come with any other foundation, it will crumble. Jesus said when he was teaching the Sermon on the Mount that be careful the foundation you build your life upon. If you build it upon the sand, the storms will come, the rain will pour, the wind will break down your house because it's built on a false foundation, a shifting sand. But if it's built upon the rock, if it's built upon the words of Christ, our living hope, it will survive every test and every trial and every temptation, every storm. Jesus wants you to have this foundation, this certainty, this anchor in your life. And I'm not talking about just having some emotional attachment. I'm talking about having a living, vital relationship with the Lord of the universe, who is the way, the truth, and the life, the living hope. The only means that we have to survive death and the judgment is our Savior and our Lord. And the way that you find hope in the living hope is to confess your sins to him, to come to him as you are and ask him to forgive you of all of your guilt and shame. It is something that you must do, though, because Jesus claims to be the resurrection and the life, and he loves you, and he wants you to know him in an intimate, personal way, not religion. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a living, vital relationship with him. Please remember Nazanin in your prayers today as you're thinking about Iran and thinking about political prisoners. It is agonizing what her husband and child is going through. I want to thank you so much for spending time with me today on The Cross in the Desert. Join me again on Thursday as we go back to my chronological study in the book of Revelation. God bless you. Have a great week, and I will see you again on Thursday.